A king and a carpenter are set before us this morning. Both are caught up in a dilemma to make a choice between acting out of fear or acting out of faith. Consider the king, Ahaz, king of the southern kingdom, Judah. What is he afraid of? The two kingdoms to the north, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria, are threatening to come down and destroy Jerusalem, to take over the kingdom of the south. So he wants to enter into an alliance with another king, the king of Assyria, further north of these two, and much bigger, much more powerful. Now, right in the verses before you heard this morning, God sent Isaiah the prophet to him and said, "Don't enter into any alliance. Trust me." But that's not happening. So God sends Isaiah a second time, and that's what we heard this morning. And Isaiah says, look, God says, ask for a sign that you can trust God. A sign from the heavens, a sign from the deepest part. Ask for a sign, and God will give it to you. And Ahaz sounds so pious, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't want to test God. I don't want to tempt God. Well, he's not pious, he's political. He knows what he wants to do. He wants to enter into an alliance with the king of Assyria. And he does. But Isaiah says, God's going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He enters into the alliance. But that's another story. Consider the carpenter. Same dilemma. It's very subtly hinted at. Before they lived together, he was found with child through the Holy Spirit, which means Joseph wasn't him. Betrothal was equal to marriage. He was betrothed to Joseph. Joseph, but it's before he took her into his home. That is where further intimacy would occur. Before that happens, she is found to be with child. The conclusion would be she has been unfaithful. The law of Moses is clear. In the case of infidelity, she should be set aside. Some interpreted she could even be stoned. But it said Joseph was a righteous man. He felt bound by the law. And yet at the same time, he did not want to expose her to shame. And so he decided to divorce her quietly so people wouldn't know. Of course, it spread through the village like wildfire. And then what happened? A dream. An angel of the Lord comes, probably Gabriel. He seems to be the messenger they send on all these trips to bring news. Okay. Joseph, son of David. Now, that's very important. Joseph is in the line of David. He's not a king. He's not a prince. The line of David was wearing quite thin, as Ahaz showed. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. Don't be afraid. It's the first thing he addresses. She will bear a son. And you are to name him Jesus. Now, the naming is very important, because by naming him, he brings the child into the line of David by adoption, by naming him. And by naming him Jesus, this is the name given to Joseph to name him, a name that means God saves. God saves. What's the dilemma? You've all had dreams, right? Sometimes happy dreams, sometimes frightening dreams. But you wake up, and what it's just a dream. And that's what Joseph could have done. But he must have remembered his ancestor, whom he was named after, Joseph, was a dreamer. And he paid attention to them. He paid attention to everyone's dreams and interpreted them. And Joseph's father, Jacob, was a dreamer. And he had important dreams. So, the dilemma Do I listen to the dream? Do I put trust in the God who came to me in a dream? Or do I act out of fear that I'm breaking the law of Moses? When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife into his home. So that's the story we get on this fourth Sunday. Joseph never speaks in Scripture. He's the only principal character who never says anything. Mary gets her moment. Zachariah, Elizabeth get their moment. The apostles, not Joseph. So that's why we watch Joseph. We watch Joseph to see what he does. Joseph acts. We hear these accounts on the fourth Sunday because the fourth Sunday always takes us back to the time right before the birth of Jesus. And these stories are very important because the Annunciation to Mary is in Luke is paralleled by the Annunciation to Mary in Matthew. And for both of them, it is a choice. Remember, the angel starts off with Mary too. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are to conceive. To Joseph, don't be afraid. Take her. And it ends up with calling for a choice. Mary says, be it done unto me according to your word. Joseph gets up, takes her. That story is very important because it is the story of how God continues to come into the world. It is the story of all our lives in some way. And it's an invitation to think today, does fear hold you back from doing something that is part of God's dream? God's dream for the world. Because that's what this is about. That God and all of us, humanity, and all creation be transformed. So what does it mean? We do what Joseph, first of all, we listen. How is God's word coming to me through scriptures? What does it trigger in me? I have to think about this, meditate, discern, and then I have to act. How does fear stop me from trusting what God wants? And what does God want? Basically what Joseph did. He says, don't be afraid to take this child into your life. And take his mother too. I'm a redemptress. We have special devotion to Mary under the title of our Mother Perpetual Help. So we're always saying, don't forget your mother. Take the child, but take the mother too. She's a great ally with fear especially, because she knew fear too. She knew what could happen to her. A woman that was divorced, quietly or not. And yet she had the courage to act, to say yes. So that's the first thing. Second thing Joseph is asked to do is to name the child. To name the child. It's very important how we name our children, how we name one another, and how that guides our life. Every time Joseph saw that child, saw Mary holding it and took the child into his arms and called it Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. The name means God saves. And so he lived under that umbrella. God saves, God saves, God saves. No matter what happens, God is Savior God. And this Jesus, this child, is the way God is going to save us. So how we name also matters. How we name each other, who we call brother, sister, who we call friend, and on the other side, who we call other names, and what other names can do. Enemy, the old Latin, inimicus, a not friend, but even more, someone I have to be guarded, hostile to, possibly even drives us to the point of hatred that leads to violence. How we name each other matters. And then Joseph acts. How do we act? How are we called to act? You want to get a lift? If you're feeling a little down these days or a little exhausted from Advent, buy Time magazine. Time magazine, the latest issue where it has Greta Thunberg as, you know, on the cover, that 16-year-old girl who's going around the world saying, you know, how we treat the environment matters and climate control. But in this section of Time magazine, there's a section called 2019, the heroes of 2019. And just four people it mentioned, I jotted down the names, I want to make sure I get them straight. Besides Greta, who's on the cover, 9-year-old Ryan Kyoto, who after watching on the news and discovering that an Indiana school had taken away lunch from a 6-year-old because his lunch bill was not paid. Well, Ryan got very upset by this. He decided to investigate it, and he found out that it became part of a movement that as much as $25,000 in lunch debt in his own district, he's out in California somewhere. And so he said, it moved him so that he started this movement of relieving lunch debt. And he gave $74 of his allowance to clear his class in school of lunch debt, a 9-year-old. 21-year-old Lamar Smith, who when the tropical storm was down in Beaumont, Texas, worked 30 hours straight in the little hotel where people were staying to cook. He said, I didn't know how to cook, but he cooked. And he got other people to come in on it. And for 30 hours took care of all these people. 44-year-old Nicole Weaver, a bus driver, who saw two little kids walking by out of the corner of her eye, stopped the bus. One was a 6-year-old and the other was a 2-year-old in a diaper and a t-shirt. They had wandered off from the grandparents who were watching. But she took them, put them in the bus, wrapped her coat around one. And Keenan Lowe, the 27-year-old coach who won an 18-year-old student at the high school where he was security guard and coach, was walking through the school carrying a rifle, went to find him. And when he found him, he wrestled the rifle out of his arms and wrapped his arms around him, saying, I've come to save you. I've come to be here with you. And that transformed this young man. He's now getting mental care. He had tried suicide. But four people, an 18-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 44-year-old, two men, two women, a 16-year-old. This is the invitation they received to say yes to life. And so it invites us this fourth Sunday. You know, the Christmas season is great for buying gifts and all that is good. But is God asking each of us to look at our lives and go, how can we say yes to life and to bringing salvation, which is life, to others? Paul reminds us today, and Paul gets the last word. Paul said, I am a preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that good news, when you hear that and take that in, that is a call to be, and indeed to become the body of Christ, to become holy in the world, to bring the holiness of God in the world, to take part in the transformation of the world. And just as this Eucharist is all about transformation, bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, so that in our eating, we become the body and blood of Christ and go out into the world to nourish, to be food for the world. So, happy end of Advent. 2 days to Christmas. Rejoice. We remember the one born, one name, God saves, the one named Emmanuel, God is with us. And we act on that. We act on that.